Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Welcome back. It's that time of the weekend now when we get to check out the new film and TV releases for the week ahead. We're joined in studio by entertainment and culture journalist Rory Cashin and freelance culture journalist Zara Hederman. You're both very welcome to the show. Zara, you're going to bring us first to a movie that is 50 years in the making via Francis Ford Coppola. Is it any good? Has it been worth the 50-year wait?
Do you know what? It actually kind of has. reading about this film has been so interesting because, as you said, it was 1977 when he first conceived it, and Coppola was interested in pairing the fall of Rome with the future of the United States. So what we have is New Rome is where it's set, and it looks like Manhattan essentially. But as like throughout the decades, he just kept falling into these different situations where it would get pulled. He actually had to self-finance it himself by selling off a portion of his vineyard. So he was able to raise up 120 million, and that 120 million goes into the amount of visual effects in this film. Like, I saw it yesterday morning at 10:30 in the IMAX, which was, I would highly recommend seeing this in as kind of big and gauche of a kind of theatre experience as possible, because it's mesmerising. There was one review in particular that said, you know, it has to be seen to be believed. And it's true, because it's very difficult to describe it, because within the 2.5 hours there's so many plots, there's so many subplots, there's so many different characters. Adam Driver is leading, he is Caesar, who's this kind of architect who's wanting to like build a better future for New Rome. There's Giancarlo Esposito, who's kind of his rival, as Adam Driver calls him. He's like the slumlord mayor, and he's not very popular. But then, you know, you have side characters like John Voight, and he's a banker. He has his own very corrupt kind of thing going on. There's other things happening, and it's just a visual feast. And like, this has been very polarizing. Like, people have been like this. I think Mark Mode, Rory and I were talking, and he said it's the worst film he's ever seen in his life. Francis Ford Coppola, of course, gave it a 5-star review on Letterboxd. During the film, I did have my own moment of, like, because I love Coppola, like The Godfather 2, The Conversation, incredible films. And there was a point where I had to keep reminding myself he made it, because it's so bonkers. And I was just like, what would I actually give this? Like, do I think this is rubbish, or do I think this is a masterpiece? And I actually, the longer it went on, the more I was very convinced of, it's not like anything I've seen before. It truly has to be seen to be believed.
Okay. And it has an all-star cast. And in cinemas now, that's Megalopolis in cinemas nationwide. Thank you for that, Zara. Rory, you're going to bring us now to tell us about Strange Darling. Is this now horror or a little bit more psychological thriller?
This would be a kind of a violent thriller that is essentially a chase movie told out of order. The movie opens with Willa Fitzgerald, who was fantastic in last year's The Fall at the House of Usher, and she's being chased and is absolutely terrified from Kyle Gaynor, who people might know from Scream 5, and he was also in Smile, so he's become a bit of a horror Scream king. And it just opens just straight off. She's running in fear from this man. We've no idea why. We're not giving any context whatsoever. But it is a relentless chase. And then the movie just stops dead and then picks up at the very beginning of their story, where we see how they met. And it's a very cute, almost romantic comedy meet cute between the two of them, with very funny, flirty dialogue. Stops dead, jumps forward to after the chase that we've seen at the start of the movie. So we're kind of being told this horror chase movie completely out of sequence
and easy to follow despite the jumping back and forth.
It is, because the movie makes it very clear when you are in their story, but the whole time your allegiances keep flipping back and forth between the two of them. So it's a very interesting way of telling what could be a very straight ahead horror movie. Now, I'll be honest, the reviews for this have been phenomenal. People are saying it's one of the best horror movies.
95% in Rotten Tomatoes,
You never get that for a horror movie. You never get that kind of unanimity between like everyone saying, yes, this horror movie is great. I thought it was good, not great, but people whose opinions I take, you know, very seriously, they say it's one of the best of the year. So again, we're coming into spooky season. If you're looking for a good horror film, that's in cinemas.
That's the one, that's Strange Darling. Back to you, Zara. So Saoirse Ronan has been on the promotional tour for The Outrun. I think you've now seen it. What's the verdict?
It's really good. I hadn't read Amy Liptrot's 2016 memoir that it's based on, and I went into it knowing very little, hearing some of Saoirse Ronan's interviews, and was quite intrigued, but also not, I don't want to say reluctant, but it's very heavy subject material. It's a young woman who deals with alcoholism and her process and experience of sobriety, be it in London, where it's very difficult, to then going back to the Orkney Islands, where she's from, which is very remote. She goes back to the farm, her family farm, to work on, and then even goes even more remote to Papi Islands. There's a reason why Saoirse Ronan has been nominated 4 times for an Oscar. And this, I actually cannot get over how incredible she is in this film.
This is the first time she's portraying someone who's still alive today.
Exactly. And it was really interesting. On The Guardian, Amy Liptrot wrote a piece about watching the film and her experience of watching Saoirse Ronan in the role as her. And she just felt very... very secure and trusted her, because she really felt that Saoirse Ronan was so sensitively doing this role. And what she said as well about Nora Fingenscheid, who directed the film, was that there's a very interesting kind of fact and fiction with it, where she went to the same, like, Orkney Islands, she went to the same cottage that Amy Liptrot went for recovery, where she actually starts to write the book, and throughout she uses like real farmers, like actors who have been through rehab as well. So in that way, I found it's a very visceral watch, like the moments where Saoirse Ronan's character Rona is in states of being quite drunk, it's very harrowing, and it doesn't glamorize it at all. Like, I was almost watching it like a horror film, because it's bleak, it's very real. Like,
do you think Saoirse Ronan could get another Academy Award nomination for it?
100%. Like, I would love her to win an Oscar for this as well, just because of the story of it, that it's a real person, and also just how she approached it and the temperament she had throughout. I thought she was really, really excellent in
it. Okay, that's the outrun. Rory, we're getting into the Halloween spirit, as you mentioned, and there is a Crazy Clown Trilogy Terrifier in selected cinemas nationwide from October 10th and then on Prime Video.
Yeah, so Terrifier 1 came out in 2016, Terrifier 2 came out in 2022. They both skipped cinemas here, but have developed a massive cult following in the few years since then, and proved to be massively popular in the States. So Terrifier 3 is coming out here, as you mentioned, on the 10th. So ahead of that, certain cinemas are doing the double bill of the first two, so you can catch up. But if you don't see them in the cinemas, they've also just recently been added to Prime Video. They do tell the story of Art the Clown, who is a clown who kills people in the most violent way you could possibly imagine. The first one is very much a throwback to the 80s sort of slasher movies. So it's like Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, that kind of stuff. It has absolutely no budget whatsoever, but what little money they did have has definitely been put into the very unique kill sequences that are in it. The second one is inexplicably 2.5 hours long for a horror film, and really adds in this weird good versus evil mythology to the whole thing, which I was not expecting to see in a sequel to a horror movie about a killer clown. But again, the second one has been called one of the most violent and disgusting horror movies ever. So if you are a fan of that gory kind of version of horror movies, you will absolutely love these two movies. But if you are any way squeamish whatsoever, okay, I cannot tell you enough to avoid these with everything you've got.
Definitely not for everyone, by the sounds of things. Staying with you, Rory, we're moving on to TV now. Nobody Wants This on Netflix. It's been heralded as the return to form of the rom-com. Is it worth actually watching?
Yeah, it's very cute. It's so cute. So we've got Kristen Bell and Adam Brody, who I think... for a certain generation, the two of those might have been like pin-up crushes for a certain kind of demographic, because we had her in Veronica Mars and we had him in The OC. And the two of them are just adorable together in this. It's a couple who both have kind of resigned themselves individually to just never meeting the right person. And then they happen to cross paths at a time when they have completely given up on love. And it's 10 episodes. Each episode's less than half an hour. You will devour the entire thing in one
afternoon.
Very good.
Worth the watch, right? Nobody wants this. Zara, starting on BBC One, we have Industry. What's that all about?
Yeah, this is season 3. And it's been described as a kind of mix of Euphoria, Succession and Made in Chelsea, which is a perfect kind of description of it. It was created by Mickey Dayan and Conrad Kay, who both previously worked in the London finance scene. Now, this has really successfully filled the hole that Succession left after it finished. So what we have here, season one looks at recent finance graduates who are working in Pierpoint, this investment bank in London. It's very high energy. There's very high stakes. There's a lot of different deals going on. Did I understand what's going on in the office? Absolutely not. The finance stuff went over my head. But the drama between everyone, they are so toxic, so poisonous. And it's very, like, talking to friends, it's very difficult when it's like, who's your favourite? Which ones do you like? And you're like, they're all actually exceptionally awful in the same way that Succession, everyone's awful.
Yes,
but these are
characters.
Poisonous people.
Okay.
So season 3 starts BBC on Monday.
And that's the Industry. Yeah. Then Rory, back to you. There's a Will Ferrell documentary, Will and Harper, and this is Netflix and also out now.
Yeah, so this is it's a very powerful and at times very funny documentary about famous actor Will Ferrell, who's teamed up with the director of, I don't know if you've ever seen this comedy, Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. Have you seen that one? It's a fantastic comedy that came out during the pandemic. And it's, if you haven't seen it, absolutely go to watch it. I think it's on Prime Video. One of the funniest comedies I've ever seen. But the idea of the two of these making this very powerful documentary about continuing a friendship with someone who has come out as trans and wanting to do a road trip with them and trying to, is it a question of establishing or re-establishing or nothing changing in a relationship when someone has come out as trans? And it's fantastic. It's really eye-opening.
Very good. So that's Will and Harper on Netflix. And Zara, on RTE One, we have Extraordinary Life, the Ben Dunn story.
Yeah, Extraordinary Life, unbelievable life, really, when you watch it. You know, it's anchored by the 1992 Florida hotel incident where he was arrested. And throughout that comes back to kind of reflect how he is the person that he was. I found this so interesting, from that story to the kidnapping, the tribunals. But actually, I found the first half of it very interesting about the starting of Dunns. Joe Duffy talks about how, like him and his family, everyone was dressed by Dunns. Very interesting. I thought this was excellent. Highly recommend.
Okay, and that's RTE One Monday, September 30th at 9:35, and that's Extraordinary Life. Bake Off is back, Rory, on Channel 4 Tuesdays. Watch it or not? Is it still relevant?
Yes.
Watch it. Still worth a look.
If you like the old ones, you like this one.
The definitive verdict there from Rory Cashin and Zara Hederman. Thank you all for your recommendations today.